think a lot of it is because men have a lot of responsibilities. And I know that the two things that I center in, that I've tried to focus in on, is my relationship with the Lord. That's the first thing.
Amen.
You know, before I lose anything, I don't want to ever lose, and I won't lose my salvation, but I'm thankful that I don't want to lose that fellowship that I have with the Lord. And the ministry that God has called me to be a pastor. That's what God's called me to do. And so I focus a lot of my attention on God, on my church. And then there's a second thing that is near and dear to my heart, and that's my family. The Lord has blessed me with a beautiful wife. I'll be married for 18 years. I never dreamed that I thought I would have to settle for some ugly woman that's uneducated. But if I showed you a picture of my wife, you'd know what God's grace is. God has blessed me with a beautiful wife. She has more talent in her little finger than I have in my whole body. And I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate my wife.
Amen.
And, you know, when I first got married, I didn't know what a husband should be. And I still don't. Women are the most complicated beings that God ever made.
Amen.
And that keeps us humble, doesn't it? And I am so thankful to have my wife. And I've got a daughter that's 12 years old, Ariel Grace. Ariel Grace. And two reasons why Ariel was the name that my wife picked out. And it means father's joy. And she is the joy. I'm so blessed. She's not a perfect child, by all means. She's turned 12. Her hormones are kicking in, and it's been a real challenge to deal with her this year. The Lord is teaching me patience. And then and Grace, there's two reasons why her name's Grace. God's grace. And Mark Grace. I don't know if you know who Mark Grace is at first base for the Cubs. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. And so she's 12, and my son's 5, and his name is Max Dunston. Sean Dunston. I don't know if you all are big Cubs fans, but definitely. And so just to let you know where my priority is my priority is, number one, to serve the Lord, to go where God wants me to go, and to be the person that God wants me to be. And I fall short of that. I really do. I mean, today I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for falling short. I feel so inadequate. I don't know how you all feel about that. The closer I get to God, the more I realize how much I need to grow. And then my family. My family means so much to me. And then my friends. And I want to congratulate Bob Wilson. He's been married 60 years. Yeah. Him and Betty celebrating their wedding anniversary. So that is awesome. Well, today I struggled because, when I've been asked to speak, you know, when I pastor a church, I usually have it planned what I'm going to be preaching on. And I do a lot of expository preaching. That's something in seminary that they really and stress, that we not go to the Bible and say, what are we going to preach on, but let the Bible determine what we preach on. And so we've been going through Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. For me to live is Christ. And no, I got it wrong. Help me, Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But Christ lives in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I now live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, today God laid a scripture on my heart, and I hope that it speaks to you. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. In the Bible, in honor reading God's word, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me? That's what we do. At Eastview, my pastor did that, and I continue that on. And plus, you all have been sitting for a while, right? Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." And he said, "I did not call you, lie down." And he went and lay down again. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here am I, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" And so Samuel went, and he lay down in his place. And now the Lord came and stood and called out at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offerings forever." So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and he said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I don't know if that spoke to your heart today, but it sure spoke to mine. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word today. And Father, I just pray that today that whatever you want to say by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would just speak to us. Father, I pray that today that we would empty ourselves. And Father, that we would truly be filled with your Spirit, Lord. Father, you know exactly who we are. And Lord, sometimes we pretend to be something that we're not. Father, I pray that today that you'd rip that falsehood from us, Father, that you would help us to be the people that you would have us to be. And Lord, if there's sin in our lives, Father, that we would confess it. And Father, if there's sins in our homes, Father, that we would be the one that would guard it, Lord, that we would be the priest that you've called us to be, Father. And Father, that we would do your work and your will. Lord, speak to us today through the life of Samuel and the life of Eli. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, isn't it amazing how God works? Y'all can be seated unless you want to stand. I know when Ezra spoke, they stood. But that was Ezra. I'm not Ezra. But anyway, isn't it amazing how God works? In some of the most difficult situations, God can produce a blessing. God can produce a blessing. We see that Hannah and Elkanah was not able to have children. And we see that Hannah wanted to have a boy so bad. She wanted to have a child so bad. All the other Jewish women were able to have children, but Hannah wasn't able to have children. And in her despair, she did something that is very gutsy. It takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of sacrifice. She said, "Lord, if you give me a child, that child will belong to you all of his days." And we see that God answered. God heard the prayers of Hannah. God not only heard her prayers, but I want you to know, guys, God saw her heart. That she was sincere, that she wasn't just going to say phony words and then take it back. She knew that if God gave her a child, that she would have to turn that child over to the service of the Lord, to serve the Lord. And the Bible says that God allowed Hannah, who wasn't able to conceive, to have a child. And she had a boy. And her name was Samuel. His name was Samuel, not her name. I'm a little nervous, you know. I'm not used to speaking at the BMIC meeting. And so you'll have to pardon my mistakes. But anyway, she had a boy. His name is Samuel. And isn't it amazing that there's this elderly priest that Samuel was given to by Hannah, not just Hannah, but the father. The father could have rejected that, but we see that Elkanah, who doesn't get a lot of attention, Hannah gets all the attention, but Elkanah, being the father, did that, served the Lord, went to the annual sacrifices, was a godly man, and he honored the prayer and the heart's desire of Hannah. You know, in churches, I've noticed that sometimes the wife is very devoted and the man's not. And then vice versa. Sometimes I see men that are devoted. Isn't it wonderful when a husband and a wife, a mother and a father, are both on the same team?
Amen.
Serving the Lord. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what your arrangement is. But I want you to know that you can't control what another person does, but we can control what we do. And how faithful we are. And isn't it amazing that this child was born because this mother prayed, and God already knew that Hannah was going to have a child, but God honored her prayers and gave her a child, Samuel. And Samuel will be one of the greatest prophets that Israel will ever know. And he goes to this man's house who's old, a priest. And the Bible says that before Samuel came, that Eli's son was taking the sacrifices that was meant to be sacrificed to the Lord, the offerings that were meant to be devoted to God, and they were doing it their own way. They was not honoring God. And the Bible says that Eli's son, Hophni and Phinehas, his two boys, that they were committing sexual immorality within the tabernacle surrounding, that they were having sexual relationship with men or with women. Isn't that awful? The place that was supposed to be a dwelling place, a place that God had designed for His people to meet with Him and Him meet with them. We see that there was a place of immorality. And we see that a man came to Eli and said, "Guess what? Judgment is coming to your house." You see, Eli knew it was wrong and he spoke to his boys about it, but he did not take a very serious stand upon sin. It's almost like he addressed it, but he really did not deal with it. And because of that, we see, if you want to read earlier on in this scripture, that there was something spoken to Eli. Said, there'll never be an old man in your house. And later on, we see that Israel goes to battle and the Philistines captures the Ark of God and defeats the Israelites. And we see that Eli's two boys, after Samuel speaks this, we see that Eli's two boys are killed. And that Eli himself, when he finds the news, falls back and he dies at 89 years of age. You know, it's amazing, the situation. Here's this little boy, this little child that was given by Hannah and Elkanah, that was devoted to God, that God was going to use Samuel. And Samuel goes and lays down, and he is not familiar with the Lord speaking. He's just a young child, and he hears this voice, Samuel, Samuel, and he assumes that it is Eli. And he goes, Eli, what do you want? Sir, what do you want? What can I do to help you? And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And I'm not to make a long story, I'll make it short. He did it for three times. And finally, the third time, Eli realized that, hey, it's the Lord that's speaking to Samuel. And here's this old man that has his son has failed him. His eyes are dim. He's at the point of death. He knows that his life is going to end. He knows that his family is in shambles. But he realizes that the Lord is speaking to Samuel. And he gives him great advice. He says, the next time you hear Samuel, Samuel, say, Lord, speak. Speak. Samuel hears the voice. And he says, Lord, speak. And God speaks to Samuel. And he says it's going to be a message of judgment. In fact, it's going to be so bad that the ears are going to tingle. It's going to get their attention. Judgment is going to come to Israel. That judgment is going to come to Eli's family. And we see that the next morning, Samuel comes in and he doesn't want to tell Eli. He doesn't want to tell Eli what the Lord said. And Eli says, you better tell me everything that the Lord said. And if you hold back, may the Lord bring the judgment that he has said. You see, I believe that Eli knew that it wasn't going to be a popular message. My friends, I don't know about you, but and I don't mean to bring a rain cloud on the 10th celebration of BMEC. I want to be upbeat. I want to be positive. I want to be an encourager. But there's something that's really bothering me. It seems like our society is very casual towards sin. It's almost we've come to the point where we just expect people to sin. That sin is so prevalent, that sin is always there, and people are going to be people, and we're living in a fallen world, and there's always going to be sin, and the world is going to get worse, and it's not going to get any better. You know, it bothers me that our society, that our government, that our nation, that instead of, I hear a lot of times people say, well, we're really evolving in a society because we're accepting something. My friends, I think we're going down the toilet.
Yeah.
Because we're accepting things that God says are wrong.
Yes.
The Word of God makes it very clear that a nation that is righteous will be exalted, and those nation that rejects God will face His judgment.
Yeah.
But you know what bothers me more than anything? is that a lot of our churches have become casual towards sin. As if God has changed His standards. And it's almost like pastors. I've been a pastor for, I got called at the age of 17 to preach the gospel. I'm 42. I know I look a lot younger.
That's what we were going to say.
Thank you.
Yeah. I wasn't going to tell them.
Spiritual eyes.
I started pastoring when I was 19, 23 years ago. And I want you to know, in 23 years, I've seen a big change. Not just in our society, but in our churches. It used to be they'd say, preach the word, preach the word, preach righteousness. And now I have folks that'll say, you're going to offend people. If you take a stand on certain things, you're going to turn people away. But my friends, do we not have 66 books of the Bible that tell us that God is the God of righteousness? That God is the one that when we put our faith and our trust in, and I want you to know that it's not a self-righteousness. There's a difference between promoting God's righteousness and promoting a self-righteousness where we look down upon people and we say, oh, we're better. And no, we're not better. We're all sinners saved by God's grace.
Amen.
Jesus died on the cross, and without His blood, guess what? We would be lost and separated from God. It's only through the blood of Jesus and the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have been made clean and whole. And we should never, ever forget about that. And when we get to the point where we think that we're better than other people and we're guarded, my friends, that's not where God wants us. We need to be on our knees, broken before God. And we see that Eli, even though he dealt with it, he didn't deal with it in a way that honored the Lord. My friends, the Bible says that we are a chosen nation, that we are a royal priesthood. Right? That God has called us to be His children. And to do His work.
Amen.
You see, I can't control what other families do. But I can be the dad that God wants me to be. By God's grace, I can be the husband that I need to be. And so anyway, we see that God speaks to... isn't it amazing how the old man, Eli, tells the young man, say, Lord, speak, and He'll speak to you. The Lord speaks to the young child, and now the young child is telling the old man what the Lord said. If you're here today and you're beginning adulthood, start good. Start faithful to the Lord. You're here today and you're like me. Hopefully. We need to adapt well to what God wants us to do. And then if you're here today and you're older, if I ask you, how many of y'all are old? Anybody raise your hand? Wow! Most people won't admit that. I remember when I first started Eastview, they wanted to have a young, single adult ministry. And we put it in the bulletin that we were going to begin a young, single adult ministry. And I had a dear friend, his name was John Smith, and he'd take me out for breakfast. Just a wonderful guy, loved the Lord, loved people. God blessed him financially. He was just an incredible guy. But he was 90 years old. And we see that when we put it in the bulletin that we were going to have a young single adult ministry, guess who showed up? First night. John. And the reason why is he never thought he was old.
Ask Methuselah who's old.
Huh?
Ask Methuselah who's old.
Methuselah, yeah, definitely. 969 years of age. So whatever stage we're in, let's be devoted to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to leave you with one verse. Psalms 37. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Verse 25 says, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice, and he does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever.
Amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that today, that as we've looked at the life of Samuel, Lord, each and every one of us, we've been created by you, O God. Father, I thank you that you're the one who calls us to salvation. Father, I'm so thankful today that you never call any of us to be saved and to sit on our butts. Mm-hmm. Father, that you've called us to be the salt and the light of this world. Father, I pray that today that we would make sure that we guard ourselves against any unrighteousness or any impurity or any things that are not pleasing to you. Father, help us to guard ourselves, Lord. Father, that when Satan comes, and he will, and he seeks to tempt us and to lead us astray, Lord, help us to realize that the battle is not ours, but it's yours. Father, help us to fill our minds and our hearts with your word that is pure, that is powerful, that provides. Father, I pray that we would draw near unto you, and you promise that you'll draw near to us. Father, help us to be men that don't just say one thing and do another thing. But God, help us to be men that are devoted to you, God. Father, righteousness does not come by our decisions. Righteousness does not come because we're good people. Father, the only way that we can be righteous is because you're a righteous and holy God. Father, I just pray that today we would speak your word in season and out of season. But Father, that we would also speak your word with grace and love. Father, I pray that today, that whatever situation that we may be in, Lord, that we would turn to you. And that we would love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, with all our strength. Lord, have your way and your will in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name.